Father, I pray that you would use my words this morning, and Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak into each of our hearts that you would say to us today. Amen. Departure from the norm. I normally stand here with my Kindle. My Kindle is hidden in a box somewhere in my study, having moved over the last few days. So I'm resorting to the old-fashioned version of paper. Oh, yeah, I'm sure I will. I was really struck by those readings. You know when you sort of sometimes you read something, and I was reading it as I was preparing this, and then Andy stood up and read, just one word really struck me from it, or one sentence I should say, "The Lord is near." And I just felt that as that was read, that for some of us we need to know that. We need to know that the Lord is near. The Lord is near now, the Lord is near tomorrow, whatever people are facing this week. And I just felt there were two or three people, including myself, that needed to know that the Lord is near. So we're at the end of a mini-series about giving our time, our tithes, our talents. And as I looked into the lectionary today, we heard the readings. They felt that they were sort of pertinent for what we were talking about. And what I don't want to do is I'm not going to spend sort of ages on either passage unpacking it and going through it. But as I read those two readings, there were a few things that struck me. And it struck me about how we use our talent, how we use our time, how we use our resources, financial or otherwise, in the service of God. And that first passage we heard from Philippians, we heard that well-known phrase about not worrying. Do not worry about anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but when you see like a title or a series of giving our time, our tithes, our talents, one of the first things we can do is go gulp or feel some anxiety about what are the things that we've not done. And I just found that as we read that passage, there may be some anxiety over some of those aspects that we've unpacked over the last few weeks. And I think what God wants us to do is to come to him in honesty and to come in reality and then see what God may say. The other thing that the passage encourages us to do is to think about things that are honourable, pleasing, commendable. And I found that was really pertinent when we're thinking about what we do with our time, what we do with our talents, what we do with our resources. When we think about our time, when we think about our talents, think about the resources that we have, do we do it in a way that is honourable, pleasing and commendable to God? One of the challenges that always sort of gets me when people say it, they say, actually, when we become disciples of Christ, one of the last things that it affects is our pockets. And, you know, somebody said, actually, does our bank statement, does our credit card statement reflect our discipleship? And my first reaction to that can be gulp. You know, if somebody had a look at mine, would they be pleased by the amount of money I'm spending on Sky Sports or whatever it is? And I'm sure God wants us to use our talents in a way that fulfills the things that we are into and we're interested in. But it just struck me as we think about time, talents and our tithes, or what we do with our finances. Is our thinking about these things honourable, pleasing to God and commendable? Does the way that I think about things, does the way that I think about my material possessions in particular, bring honour to God? And I was just quite challenged by that passage. And so often our thinking, I think particularly around finances, can go down one road. And I was asking myself the question, does that come in line with what would be honourable and pleasing to God? It was a question really to throw out, a question for all of us rather than coming up with any smart answers. We're also told in that passage to keep on doing the things we have learnt and received. Well, I don't know about you, but this is certainly not the first time I've heard talks on the use of time, talks on the use of our talents, talks on the use of our finances or our resources. But we're encouraged to keep on doing the things we have learnt and we received. Has God challenged us in some of these areas in the past, and we've maybe stuck it onto the back burner? from what we've learned, what is God saying to us right now? And I guess one of the important questions is, how are we acting on the things that we have learned, heard and received? There's a very good question that those of you that are familiar with the life shapes and that are maybe involved in huddles. What is Jesus saying and what am I doing about it? And I think maybe there may be different things over the last few weeks that God may have just prompted us in different areas. What is Jesus saying to us at this time? And what are we doing about it? Or are we like those that the scripture says that look in the mirror, walks away and forget what we look like? My hairdryer is in a box, so I've tried not to look in the mirror too much this morning. But there are lots of different things that struck me from that passage. Sometimes we can worry about things. Sometimes, are our thoughts honourable to God? Are we doing the things that we've been taught and heard about in the past? So there may be different things as that scripture was read that struck you. I'd just encourage you to, maybe during the week, go back, reflect on that passage and see if there's something that stands out to you from it. And then there was the gospel reading. There is so much in that passage. It starts off with the questionable motives of those that follow Jesus. They were just there because of the food. I'm sure we've never experienced that, have we? Yesterday I was actually just there for the food. There was a conference going on in the church. We've just moved into the vicarage over the last couple of days, and there was a conference going on in the church, and I literally did just pitch up for the food and then left. It was great. So I know the questionable motives of some of those disciples. But let's be honest, we all have questionable motives. We all have mixed motives. And I think, you know, God understands that. I don't think God's there waving a stick at us. God knows that sometimes we're just there for the food. And then God shows up and does something amazing. But the encouragement that we see in that passage is not to work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life. And I think, again, when we think about what we do with our time, what we do with our talents, what we do with our finances, are we putting those things to work for that which perishes? Or are we using our time, our talents and our resources for that which endures for eternal life? And a bit later on, we will have some time to reflect on that. Are we giving what we have, whatever that may be, for that which perishes or that which endures? And that can be a challenge, can't it? You know, and I think God wants us to be real with him. And I think God wants us to be real when we're struggling with that. And when it's a wrestle, as well as when it's an easy thing to do. I think if it was an easy thing to do, Jesus wouldn't be teaching about giving ourselves to what endures. But as we reflect on what we have and how we use what we have, one thing we are reminded of is that Jesus is the provider of all that we have. Jesus is the bread of life who provides for all our needs. As we give our time, our talents and our resources, as we give away, we will never go short. Because Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is that provider. We know that when we've given our bread away, to use the metaphor in the story as a metaphor, there is one that will provide for us in abundance. I've found that's been true for me this week. If I'm honest, it's been really hard for us as a family to leave our family home of 12 years. My son was born there. We live in a really nice area. We've got some friends around. And it's been really hard. And I've really felt over the last month, and including leaving here as well, I feel like all I'm doing is giving away. And on Friday, I had an empty house, which I walked around and sobbed around, all the memories in it, and then drove away to what felt like I was giving away everything that I had. And the abundance that I've received, Louisa giving in her time in abundance and blessing us over the weekend, people turning up with food, there being a conference next door and having the most amazing crumble I've ever eaten. And I felt like I've just given away. It's costly to leave here. It's costly to move house. There's been great cost in it for all of us. And I've just had a little glimpse of the abundance that we receive when we give away. And I'm really grateful. And they often come in the shape of people like Louisa, who give their time. So it's a small illustration, but that's been my testimony this weekend as we've given away and counted the cost of giving and following that call to discipleship. We have received back in abundance. God provides in abundance, and God will often provide through you, through me, being the person that gives our time, our talents, or whatever it is to somebody else. But I sometimes think we live, and I know I've probably lived over the past month or 6 weeks, with a scarcity mentality, thinking of what we are losing, what we are giving up, what it's going to cost to give the finance, the time, or whatever. And I think very often we live in this mentality of scarcity. Let's keep what we have. Let's keep our time, our talents, our finances to ourselves. But the economy of the kingdom of God is reckless generosity. It's reckless generosity, and as we give, God provides. What we have is from God. We are stewards of the talents God has given us. We are stewards of the financial resources God has given us. We are stewards of our own time. I think I fit a mind sometimes looking on Facebook. But I just wonder today, do we have the economy of the world in our mind? Or do we have the economy of the kingdom? Where as we give, there is abundant provision back. And as we give, we are working for that not which spoils, but that which endures for eternal life. And there have been many words that have been spoken during the series that we've just had. And there may be different things that resonated with each one of us. I know there were things from Louisa's sermon last week that resonated with me about Anna, about going and praying and praying and praying, and it may be ages before something happens. Different things may have resonated with different ones of us. When we talk about giving time, talents, financial resources, the Holy Spirit may have gently prodded us in one of those areas. So I ask the question again, what has God been saying to you during this series? And what are you going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? I guess we've all probably watched Britain's Got Talent. Did you see the one? No? Okay, there's somebody who's not. You are blessed. Did you see the one where the other day where the guy had the sword? This guy, well, don't try this at home. This is like a Blue Peter one, isn't it? Don't try this at home. This guy had this sword, and he put this sword, and then he climbed up a pole and went, dropped head first from the pole and stopped about that far. Did anybody see it? No, yeah. It's probably on YouTube somewhere. We probably all, apart from Beth, who's the sensible one here, watched Britain's Got Talent. Well, the truth is, St. Augustine's has talent. God has gifted each one of us in different ways. I guess the question is, how are we using what God has gifted to us? So as we've sung before, build your kingdom here. Building your kingdom here doesn't come through us singing a song. Building a kingdom here comes through using the talents, the time, the resources that God has given us. St. Augustine's, St. Thomas, Walbrook Epiphany has talent. What are we doing with that talent? And do we trust that as we give all that we have, Jesus is the bread of life that meets all our needs? I haven't got this sewn up. My struggles of the last 6 weeks or so will show that. It's a constant challenge to me. I fail many times. My motives are wrong. My thinking is wrong. The use of my time, etc., is wrong. But actually, as I fall over and get it wrong, I have somebody who picks me up, somebody who forgives me, who loves me beyond measure and transformed me, and has called me and you to be an agent for the kingdom of God, which impacts on our time, it impacts on our talents, it impacts on our pockets. And as I started thinking and as I was reflecting on the passages and thinking over the series, one song just could not get out of my head. And it was that song, I Will Offer Up My Life. I'm just going to read you a few of those lines. And I think as we think about our time, our talents, our resources, and are we building for the kingdom? It says this: I will offer up my life in spirit and truth. In surrender, I must give my every part. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? You deserve my every breath. You've paid the great cost, giving up your life to death, even death on a cross. And I don't know what God's been saying to you over these past weeks. What is God saying to you about the use of your talents, your time, your resources? And that doesn't necessarily mean what we do in here on a Sunday morning. It means far more, what are we doing out there? Is our vision a kingdom vision? Where is God calling you? Where is God calling us together to use our talents? Where are we playing our part in the body of Christ? Your talent may be that you are brilliant at listening. It may be that your talent is to go and sit with somebody for half an hour a week who is lonely. The unseen, but the highly significant. It may be different for you. It may be different for each of us. So as we seek to follow Jesus, as we seek to be disciples, I ask that key question again. What is God saying to us, and what are we doing about it? And I asked myself the challenging question: could somebody who didn't know me know that I was a follower of Jesus by the way that I used my time, my talents, my resources? And in a minute we're going to listen to that song. And we're going to, as we bring up our offerings, part of our giving, we're going to listen to that song. And reflect on the words. You may want to sing it out loud. You may just want to sit and quietly reflect. You may want to wrestle with God because you know that God is speaking to you about the use of your talent or the use of your time. And if there's a wrestling going on with God, be honest with God. The Psalms are full of that. God can deal with our honesty. If Jesus could battle with God and be honest with God in the Garden of Gethsemane, so can we. So let's reflect upon what God is saying and what our response is going to be. How will we seek to build the kingdom here through the use of time, talents, resources? How will we offer up our life in response to all that God has done and for his great love and provision for us that we have in Christ? Amen.